Hey, Shows, welcome to the show. Hello, Sharad. How's it going, man?
Very good. And we've done a eclectic mix of businesses over the last, I don't know, so many episodes. Today is another interesting one because it is addressing a very big sector, almost to 15-20% of the GDP, 15-20% of the workforce. So it sits in a nice sector, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, actually, to be fair, this is probably the second such company in our mix. Earlier, we spoke with Fashionza, which is more vertically focused manufacturing solutions play. And now we are speaking with Sonam Motwani, founder and CEO of Karkhana. Sonam, welcome to the show.
Hi Nikhil, hi Sharad. Glad to be here. Thanks for this opportunity.
Pleasure. Sonam, like I was saying, Karkhana, obviously you look at you're a manufacturing solutions startup. And your mission is to organize and digitize India's MSME segment. Now, that's a big, bold statement and mission to make. And I'm sure you are kind of headed that way. But would love to, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, about your starting steps? I know you're ex-IIT Bombay. You did a BTech in aerospace engineering. You probably have an early foray into an interest into manufacturing and into supply chains because of your stints at P&G, but would love to kind of hear from your end. How did Karkhana start?
Sure. So I started Karkhana 5 years ago. It was in the later half of 2018. And you're right. Prior to starting this up, I was working with P&G. Was a part of the engineering supply chain team there. In fact, worked across different business units, different geographies. Started with packaging technologies for hair care and skincare products, but the more exciting assignment for me was with the sanitary napkin business, where I was looking at localizing the supply chain for some of the very critical components that went into the manufacturing lines for sanitary napkins, not just in India, but many other parts of the globe. And the challenge was that, traditionally, we were importing a lot of these components from Europe, but idea was if we could find capable suppliers in India who could match the capability that our European suppliers were giving, it could lead to a huge benefit in terms of, inventory that we had to maintain for such components and also the cost of components itself. And I took up the challenge, but and thought it wouldn't be, how hard could it be to find suppliers who could build similar parts? Like to give some perspective, these are like precision metal components, and because sanitary napkin manufacturing, given the volumes that we consume, happens at a very high speed, these require like a very high degree of tolerance to be manufactured across certain specific metals. So yeah, but the engineer in me was like, how hard could it be? But the problem didn't come out as trivial as I thought it would be. And I was interacting with my some of my other peers in the industry who were part of sourcing and supply chain teams in other companies to get some learning from them on how do they manage suppliers, like how do they find suppliers, and why is it, or is it a struggle that is specific to me or specific to P&G that I'm facing? But in those interactions, what I figured that it was sort of a common challenge that everybody resonated with, that it's not so easy to find suppliers or to manage suppliers for custom manufacturing in India. And it takes a lot of micromanagement. So for me, that became the starting point on the journey of exploring manufacturing more. Prior to PNG, I was pursuing my undergrads at IIT Bombay. I studied aerospace, but spent a lot of time outside the classroom building electric race cars for this competition called
Yes, I
Formula
saw
Student.
some excerpts on IIT Bombay racing.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so that was back in 2012, 2013, when we were probably the first bunch of people building electric cars in India before it became, you know, a thing that everybody started pursuing and is now sort of the hot sauce in the automotive sector, right? It was almost 11 years ago when we were building these vehicles using lithium ion battery packs, when even, you know, Reva used to run on, I think, nickel cadmium at that time. So being students a little bit ahead of where the industry was. And I mean, being at IIT Bombay, you also have a pressure to, you know, do things which are a little different from...
out of the box, yeah.
Yes. So only then you get considered seriously. Otherwise, you would be compared to, you know, just... if you're building a car, you'd be compared to being a mechanic. So, we were doing that. And for me, it was my first, I'd say, encounter with manufacturing, because a bunch of us, we would make rounds at multiple small machine shops to get the parts for our race car built. And I mean, we were students, so nobody took us very seriously then. But it seemed like it's a student problem. Isliye koi bhav nahi deta hai. Things would get better. That was the first flavor of manufacturing for me.
Yeah.
And a bit about life before IIT. So I come from Gwalior. That's where I was born and brought up. But after I graduated, I've sort of lived in different cities. Started in Bangalore, then Hyderabad, then Goa. Yeah. Now I live in Mumbai. That's a bit about my personal side.
That's interesting. So let's fast forward to Karkhana now, and obviously you've got manufacturing from electric cars. You understood some of the things. There's clearly a passion there and sort of getting there as well. Can you just walk us through, like, what is the typical chain here, like, in terms of getting suppliers and getting demand? You're sort of servicing, it's almost like matchmaking, right? Sort of getting both sides on the table. And how does that typically work? How do you identify what manufacturers to sort of liaison with? And what are the kind of demand folks that sort of, how do they find you? And what are the guys who come in? And how does that value chain work?
So I'd first like to speak about the specific areas of manufacturing that we are targeting, right? Because again, when we talk about manufacturing, it's a vast industry. So Karkhana.io's focus is specifically on custom-built products, which means that every product we build is built to the spec of the customer we work with. It is not commoditized manufacturing that we do. And here we also focus on highly engineered hardware products currently across five main categories. One is electric mobility. Second is consumer electronics. Third is medical devices. Fourth is your industrial robotics, and fifth is aerospace components and drones as a bucket. So here our typical customer is slightly mature startups on the hardware side, as well as mid-sized companies. So largely mid-sized companies anywhere above 300 to 500 crore turnover. And these are the companies who have most challenges in their supply chain, figuring out the right mix of suppliers who they should be working with to get the most efficient output on their products. And on the supply side, we work with manufacturers with capabilities across mechanical components, electronics, and complete box build assembly. Most of our suppliers are MSMEs. Generally, I'd say under a turnover of 20-25 crores. And I mean, that is actually also the reality of manufacturing. We have, we would have some 2 million manufacturing establishments, but a large percentage of that are MSMEs and also tend to be run by a single owner who is responsible for all the decision making.
Yeah.
And they generally, you know, also have a tendency to then limit their business to working with few customers, because right. I mean, it's a lot of work to go develop business across geographies, across industries, but it puts them in a little bit of a, I'd say, risky place, because if any of the customers pulls out, it's an impact on their utilization, on their top line as well as bottom line. So through Karkhana.io, what we're trying to do is get demand from mid-sized OEMs and match it with the capabilities of MSMEs on the supply side and help these MSMEs to diversify their business across categories, across geographies, and at the same time, build a very efficient sourcing and supply chain solution for the OEMs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a bit of a primer also would be helpful, Sonam, into manufacturing at large. Like, for instance, when we went to a platform, like, there's a form where you can choose which manufacturing service one requires, correct? Be it, like, some of them you alluded to already, like, is it small batch production? Is it large? Is it assembly, etc.? And then you kind of go into the kind of process which will kind of be deployed there. Everything ranging from 3D printing to, you know, metalwork, etc. So, I mean, this is definitely not a commoditized offering, right? I'm assuming that these are custom orders, right? Yeah. And there is a fair amount of to and fro which is required between the customer and the supplier, right? And I'm sure a lot of the backend there is digitized. But there is a fair amount of hybrid approach which has also been deployed by players like yourself, who's kind of creating a platform, right? So maybe a good way is to go through like a specific example, of a certain order. You don't have to name the companies, but you know, you can maybe give some sense about the use case and where you guys come in, and what is the role that is played by Karkhana, aside from obviously you are doing a matching exercise and a sourcing exercise and a discovery exercise, but I'm sure the value addition is way more than that.
So Nikhil here, what is also important to talk about and to highlight is the state of digitalization that we have in the supply chain today. See, on one side, there is a lot of conversation about Industry 4.0 and, digital factories and how connected factories work and how they can scale. But at the same time, when the ecosystem is so fragmented and also grappling with much more basic problems in terms of running and growing business, in India, we do not have a large part of the business ecosystem in manufacturing that likes to, you know, pay for software. If I talk about a typical machine shop in manufacturing, in any of these manufacturing processes, you won't find the factories having a lot of laptops and everybody is, you know, connected and doing everything there. That is also because, one, the kind of technical talent that is employed in manufacturing is a small percentage of the total workforce. So most of these machine shops would have a struggle in having a lot of technical talent on board. Second also is that until and unless the software or any digital tech these factories use is helping them get more and more business, they wouldn't like to pay for it. Like, the most amount of digitalization we have seen in most of the factories we work in is that they have an IndiaMART profile. Nothing more than that, right? They are not using any of the ERPs which the large companies use to maintain a common source of truth for their operations, right? Those the SAPs and other ERPs have not penetrated into the MSME ecosystem so much. So now, with such a scenario, when we had to take up the task of digitalizing and connecting the MSME ecosystem, we had to literally go bare bone and peel multiple layers of the problem to arrive at what should the solution be. So one thing that, where we have seen transformation is that Now everybody has an Android phone and every machine operator knows how to use one. So the first insight was that the technology that we built should be accepted and should be something that can be quickly taught to every machine operator as well. Only then the true adoption can happen here. Second is that, you know, it is not something that we can look at monetizing from day one, which means that it's not just a software play that can be a solution in our business model. We have to combine and make it a hybrid approach where along with the adoption of digital tech, we have teams on ground that help the MSMEs to solve the problems that they are facing day in and day out while working on the orders that they get from OEMs. And those problems are, you know, around resources that they need, be it in terms of material procurement, be it in terms of managing the quality of the goods that they are producing, be it also on the side of tracking that everything is happening as per the manufacturing plan, what we call project management. It's not something that they are very well resourced to do in an organized manner that the OEMs would expect. So helping them elevate to standards where they can consistently manufacture as per the requirements of large companies has been one of the major value additions that we have tried to build along with software, but at the same time, putting our people and team on ground. Now, to explain how all of this works from the perspective of an example of a product that we built today, let me take an example of a medical equipment order that we execute. Now, we are building a certain machine that is used in the X-ray scanning before surgeries. Now, this particular machine, like for us, we have like about 102 components that have to be built. Now, having 102 unique components is something that requires us to work with multiple suppliers, not just rely on one supplier. For the customer, we are the single supplier. We would be responsible to give them this entire batch of 102.
So you are providing a turnkey offering to customers.
But from our perspective, it has to be divided amongst multiple suppliers. But at the same time, what is needed here is right supplier selection. Selecting the suppliers who have the capability to meet the requirements, like the technical challenges that would come here, who have the ability to build components for medical equipment, who have the right certifications, who have the right way to even check for quality. Like even if you don't have the right tools to check for quality, then it's impossible that you would be able to meet the quality requirements. Yeah. So that is the first criteria that our platform checks for. So once the customer has raised a requirement with us, they fill these forms and they send the what we call request for quotation or request for proposal to our platform. We have built an algorithm that selects the top 5 or 6 customers in our network who are best matched to manufacture this product. Mm-hmm. And we also have an engine that determines what would be the right cost of manufacturing for such a product. And that is how we engage with the customer and share this information with them. So once the customer gives a go ahead is when we would engage with the suppliers and give them sort of a breakdown of the project that would come in their part. We will also give them a target cost of manufacturing. And when they agree is when the order starts. And from there on, it is basically for the supplier as they progress, like when they buy the raw material, when they complete different steps of manufacturing, they share all of these updates from their side of the platform. And our team also does in-person monitoring whether all of the steps that they claim to have completed, have they completed those or not. We also help them with quality checks and making sure that they are testing the right parameters. And then we share the same information with our customers as well. So, right. So think of it that for the customers, it's a way to have control of what is happening across different suppliers from a single dashboard. And for the suppliers, it's a very light version of a very simple ERP to keep a track of all the orders that they are getting from us, what are the different activities that are to be completed, and also maintain all the technical documentation that goes along with it at one place. So
for the buyer, right, like one of the biggest challenges that a lot of people have with engaging with traditional manufacturers is sort of customer service, right? That chain is typically broken. And that obviously gets addressed because you're sort of acting as the person who's doing that. On the manufacturer side, right, when you talk about the app, is that app sort of restricted to all the projects that are going through your platform? Or is that sort of can be used by the manufacturer for wider inventory management, wider quality control, which just enhances their profile as a manufacturer, not necessarily through Karkhana or not? So how do you sort of view that? Like, is it sort of ring fenced in a way, or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, so today it is limited for usage on projects that they engage with Karkhana on. But going ahead, as we are also learning the behaviors and usage of more and more MSMEs who are working with us, the idea is that this can be expanded into an offering that more and more MSMEs can use as their own operating system. It just doesn't need to be limited to orders that they get from Karkhana, but they can use it as their true operating system for their manufacturing operations. And in a way, that helps us build on further insights that come into the platform.
Because there already is a very meaningful advisory or analytical angle that you guys are providing to the manufacturer. Like, because you said like it's sort of custom order, right? So you're already providing some, maybe even design specs and what inventory. So there is a monetizable advisory piece as well, right? So that's quite interesting. I mean, this is on a lighter note, but is there any thought process of understanding manufacturers so well to even create a lending book of sorts? I mean, the reason I ask is Indian VCs often look for angles to start underwriting and lending to guys where you have good ins into what suppliers are coming, what the working capital cycle is, and you're probably at the project level, albeit, are capturing those insights, right? That, you know, is there some thoughts around it?
Yeah, Sharath, you're actually secretly tapping on the areas of our roadmap.
We encourage everyone to lend.
Capture data, start underwriting. It seems like a very hot thing to do in the VC ecosystem as well, right?
So we don't have, as of now, plans to become lenders ourselves. But what we see ourselves in a way, you know, facilitating here is that given that through our platform, we are enabling more and more factories to be data oriented and, you know, to capture different parts of the value chain in a very organized manner, it becomes a very confidence inspiring data bank for other people who want to lend to manufacturing MSMEs. And what we plan to do is be more collaborative on that side, and in fact become a gateway for manufacturing MSMEs to become more suitable for lending. Yeah. So that is essentially the direction in which we are working towards, and that's where it starts becoming very, very interesting as a software play. We don't need to be selling or pushing the software as the monetizable piece, but it can become an enabler for other areas of monetization by bringing in integrations like access to capital, access to financing options, even access to raw material resources, other consumables that MSMEs need on their day-to-day business operations.
Well, like, since we are talking about like tech-enabled DSA angles in lending, just a question on the liquidity front. Since you are the counterparty and you're providing a turnkey solution to your customers, in terms of payments, the flows, they go through Karkhana or they go directly straight to the supplier? How does it work?
Because payments go through Karkhana.
Right.
Because for customers, we are their supplier.
We are the supplier, right.
Their order lies with us.
Understood.
And then we select who the suppliers would be.
But Sonal, this is very interesting because, you know, especially large corporates, they have very deep-rooted sourcing channels, right? Which they have kind of set up over years and decades of sorts, right? So I understand the localization use case, right? Someone who's not here wants to start localizing their back-end manufacturing and sourcing. Someone like you, definitely it makes a lot of sense for them from the standpoint of sourcing, from the standpoint of discovery, and from the standpoint of having a turnkey solution. But like those large corporates who already have, you know, reliable sourcing relationships. And I mean, when it comes to large manufacturing, the economics kind of is it's so proportionate to the amount of scale that's kind of flowing through. How do you put your foot in the door for those category of buyers or customers? Through Carkana, like there must be, like, is it like I'll find you better sourcing partners, or I'll provide you with a better experience, or, you know, I'll provide you with project management insight and visibility and traceability on the entire process, which you will not get otherwise. What's the sell there?
So, Nikhil, the thing is, even with large companies for their continuous manufacturing, their take on things is also changing. You are right that there are some of the traditional industries which are sort of very, very close-knit with their supplier network. They would almost have a captive relationship with their suppliers, right?
Both ways, right? From the supplier standpoint also, they're very protected about who they're selling to, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, it is increasingly changing. Let me give you a few examples. So we've had conversations with some of the very large automotive OEMs as well. And automotive is like one of the most, I'd say, mature supply chain in the country, given that it's one of the largest and oldest sector of manufacturing, right? But even with OEMs there, we've had conversations where as they also want to focus more and more on the speed of go-to-market with their new products, as well as, you know, maintain nimbleness and agility on their teams and people. They are favoring that wherever in their supply chain there is a lot of variety that needs to be built. They outsource all of that to a platform like Carkana.io because they don't want to deal with 500 suppliers. They're like, okay, I want to manage some 10 key relationships. But I want one of these relationships to manage my other 500 relationships.
Yeah, right?
Because there is a very high administrative people and other costs related to managing so many relationships as well, which a lot of times, I mean, traditionally, as companies, we might not have accounted directly towards the cost of manufacturing, but it is a fixed cost that you incur. Right. And that is what gives the cost benefit if companies switch to our model where we are managing a large fleet of manufacturing suppliers. Secondly, the point that we discussed earlier, it takes a lot of effort to build that source of truth when you are working with large number of manufacturers. And given that we are in the business of building that solution, the businesses are better placed to, you know, switch their supply chain to us and let us do the work of giving them that source of truth across their supply chain, than them putting their people on ground to do it with every manufacturer individually. And that is the biggest value add that businesses see. And the premium that they probably would pay here on every unit cost is balanced against the cost on the cost savings that they have on all of their other, you know, cost of doing it themselves. So it's a build versus buy decision, even on supply chain. It just works out for them much better overall, not just from a single unit cost perspective, to hand it over to us.
And the customer service probably is a much much seamless exercise to sort of engage with one counterparty.
Yeah, absolutely. And because we are aggregating capacities over so many manufacturers, and even on the demand side, it's not one company that we are working with. There is a lot of cross application that happens here, which allows companies to take benefits of things which they individually can't take.
Yeah.
So this aggregation essentially leads to a lot of benefits as well.
Yeah. And just on the manufacturer side, right? Obviously, there's one app that you talked about or a digital product where which is designed to sort of heighten the efficiency, inventory management, sales cycle. Is there a physical device as well or a physical, is there any strategy or thought about, is there a requirement essentially of any physical or a tracker or a device to be installed, a hardware equipment of sorts? And if so, like how does, I mean, you know, a lot of, like you said about manufacturers, probably true with most businesses, they're sort of not very receptive to capital outlay upfront, right? Even if you tell them like, listen, your costs are going to come down over the next 10 years by this much. But is there any play like that? Because manufacturing is physical goods and services, right? I mean, so I'm just wondering if there is a need for a hardware installment.
The question here is obviously if it's purely app-based, then there's a lot of data entry burden on the supplier, right? So you also kind of go into, I would say decentralized IoT type of frameworks where data gets tracked on its own.
Yeah. So in fact, that's something that's been constantly in discussion on how do we reduce that burden of data entry on the suppliers. So interestingly, such hardware is very easily accessible today, right? Yeah. There are a bunch of IoT-based sensors that you can plug on any machines and capture that data. But the thing is, how do you combine it as a complete solution for the MSMEs? So in fact, the fact of the matter is that when we speak to MSMEs and try to get insights into how much capacity utilization they have, or even some of the other parameters of their business, everybody works sort of on a guesstimate or a guesswork. It's not that they have a very accurate understanding of how much utilization their machines have, because the business owners are not really able to track it on a day-to-day basis today. So even the information today that they would be giving us is in a way a guesswork. So yeah. For us to one, help them become more accurate and more insightful on what actually their machines are producing as output, what their people are producing as an output. There is need for integration of hardware along with it. And it can be achieved it's not a large capex investment. It is because now access to such sensors is really cheap. And this is in a way also now that we see that the software part of it is well adopted. The next step for us is that can we convince the factory owners to trust putting a hardware and not be threatened by is this like a tracker on me? And because as Indians, we are also very, protective about what to share with somebody. Are ye share kiya to ye mera business ka sara secret pata chal jayega. Though what they might be doing might not be very different from some other factory. But there is this a constant, I would say, disbelief into some of this technology. We're not very trusting of each other easily. So it is about that, now that we see adoption and trust built on the software, are we at the right time to introduce this hardware as well? But as we see more acceptance of it is when we would start implementing those. But yeah, there is no new tech that needs to be built. It's already out there and easily available.
Yeah. Interesting. That also kind of, I think, is a good segue into understanding about the business model at Karkhana, in the sense that is it from buyer's perspective, obviously you are kind of looking at things maybe on a cost plus margin basis where you take a platform fee on the supplier's end. You have a software or a platform. Do you monetize that? Would love to and if the next step is to add hardware to the equation, who's paying for it? Will it become part of your solution offering, or is that something which kind of comes from the supplier's end? Would be very helpful if you can give us some sense about the mechanics here.
Yeah. So from a business model perspective, as I said, like for the customers, we are the supplier, and for all the suppliers that we work with, we are the buyer, and which means that our margins are built in between the COGS and our selling price. Here, the way we make margins is one, because we are able to give consistent business to our suppliers and in a way help them get better in their capacity utilization. We are able to also command better rates on right. on the machine hour from the suppliers who we strategically continuously work with. Secondly, a part of the margin also then comes from the customers, wherever they feel that they are getting a much better and much more consistent and reliable output in manufacturing by working with Karkhana. So it's in a way, in that manner, more blended. Coming to the part that will we monetize directly on software, I do not have a very, I'd say, deterministic answer on that. It's something that we would learn from the behavior on both sides of the platform and figure out.
You're not monetizing the software as of now, right?
No, right now we don't monetize.
What is the typical working capital cycle like, considering sort of...
that was exactly my next question.
You're getting the order first. I think Nikhil was jumping on the same question. So, I mean, we sort of obviously interact a fair number of manufacturing traditional businesses as well. And obviously, working capital is a key theme, right? That often comes up and how they're managing it. And obviously, people have built lending businesses around it as well. But from where you sit, like you're the supplier to the buyer and you're the buyer to the manufacturer, like how's the working capital cycle like? And is that a challenge of sorts, or do you feel like whatever the delays on the payable side, you can just pass it on to the receivable side, or vice versa?
No, so it's a little more nuanced than that. The thing is that it's a lot of times it becomes important to understand where the bottleneck lies to execute any particular manufacturing requirement seamlessly. A lot of times, what happens is that you would have a very capable MSME who has the ability to manufacture, but they're just not able to take that order because they might not have the ability to even go ahead and buy raw material. Yeah. They don't have so much free cash lying around. And the OEM on the other side is, I mean, going by their policy, they don't give any advance. Yeah. So in that case, like, it is a problem that has to be solved. And in which cases we would come in, I mean, obviously it requires diligence on our side for like to see the financial strength on both the buyer and supplier. But basically here, if we can extend an advance just to, you know, buy the raw material so that, the MSME can then go ahead and manufacture, we would do that. But at the same time, we ensure that there is a certain sort of security that we would also timely receive payments from our customers. But while we do that, like coming to the point on how the working capital cycles look like, they're pretty similar to industry average in manufacturing, anywhere between 30 to 60 days. That is the kind of difference we would have from when we pay the supplier and when we receive money from our customers.
Right.
Understood. And just one on the buyer side, since you have very good read-throughs on demand patterns and what industries, like you identified 6-7 sectors, right? Like EV and aerospace and medical equipment. Like you get a good sense of what demand, what product, what is sort of picking up. Is there a thought to sort of not necessarily wait for the order to come in, but predictively, preemptively start that cycle ahead of time and sort of even warehouse it or keep it on your books? I mean, we're sort of stepping into sort of almost like a white labeling kind of a model, but I'm not going there. I'm just saying, like, is there a role of predictive analytics and just reduce the turnaround cycle, if you will, and use that? Is that something that you think about, or is that sort of a significant deviation from how you guys operate right now?
So currently, Sharad, because most of our focus is on custom manufacturing, which even means that, say, what we would build for one EV company would be very different from what we would build for another EV company. Yeah. That is not a model that we can apply right now. Had we been doing, more of products which are, reapplicable from one OEM to another, or
and standardized,
it's only a matter of standardizing and allowing white labeling, that is easy to do. But what we are able to be opportunistic about is you know, figure out that what is the particular manufacturing capability that would be required whenever that order converts or whenever that requirement comes, and use that information to build supply readiness much more in advance than, you know, go ahead and do it when the order comes. In fact, because we are in a way supply limited, right? Once if we have readiness for a particular type of manufacturing, it's much easier for us to just go ahead and convert demand for that. Sure. So that is what we play on, and make sure that we don't lose time there.
Right. Sonam, in terms of your customer base or your revenue profile, which are the sectors which are like the largest and most significant for you? Secondly, how much of a role do you think, I mean, this is more of a macro point, right? I mean, there has been a China 2.0 narrative. There has been a shift to India in terms of manufacturing. Government is kind of, you know, stepping on the gas. There's PLI. There are lots of incentives which have kind of come into the picture. And your date of, I think you kind of were founded in like 2017-18, right? So I'm sure that you are also riding on that wave one way or the other. Would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, what kind of on-ground impact you have seen. Because, I mean, when it comes to PLI, I mean, I think there are some very specific sectors and segments only about which we keep on hearing more on the consumer electronics end of the spectrum. Would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. Firstly, coming to the point that which sectors are the ones that contribute, you know, in a way most to our revenue today. So for us, currently, a large part of the business comes from electric mobility, and secondly, also on the consumer electronics side, right. Where, you know, we are able to build capability for complete contract manufacturing. I mean, not just provide certain components, but be able to build complete product and supply to OEMs. On the side of, you know, all the policies, all the PLI schemes, as well as all the incentives that government is also providing, I mean, see, it's a starting point. I think when it comes to becoming equivalent to China, we are quite far from that. We are always, right now, at least, we are in a catch-up mode.
But do you think that there has been some level of protectionism which has come in, right? And there's a broader economic...
China itself has been a very protectionist economy, at least when it comes to manufacturing. So we are trying to somewhat mimic that. We are at like...
You think that works in the long term? You think that's a good way to go about it?
I think it's a good starting point. See, even on the PLIs, be it on the consumer electronics, there has been a debate around that, you know, abhi hum sirf assemble kar rahe hain, we are not really manufacturing components, all of those we are any which way getting from China, and if this is the right way to look at it. I won't say whether I'm 100% confident on or 100% sided on one side of a debate or the other. But the thing is, it is a starting point. It is bringing investments into the country. It is bringing more and more focus and resources into manufacturing, even if it means that we are only assembling right now and not building components from scratch. So once the investments start coming in, there will also be rise of more and more companies or even private sector making investments to then start building, you know, capability to localize components manufacturing as well. So it is a starting point, which I believe can lead to results. At what speed it brings results is something that I don't have an answer to. But I don't think we can come out of the catch-up mode anytime soon. It's also possible that we will never reach the scale where China is. But even if, you know, we can become one third of that, it's a pretty good place to be.
Fundraising, you started in 2018. You have not raised a lot of capital, right? And you have, I think, not raised a lot of capital, and you have not raised it at the kind of velocity at which a lot of your contemporaries or peers have gone by. I understand one is a function of the sector in which you are. This is not a classic tech-centric, tech-enabled type of capital light play, right? There is a lot more foundational base that's required in a business like this. And secondly, I mean, just from a growth and from a free cash flow standpoint also, this doesn't fit into the classic platform play that you see out there. How was fundraising? Was it difficult to bring institutions on board, or by the time you guys hit the market, there was fair amount of softening, openness for manufacturing platform plays at large? So yeah, I would love to hear something about that.
I'd say things have been different pre-COVID and post-COVID. Pre-COVID, I don't think there was much of a sort of buy-in on interest in manufacturing, and even, you know, B2B supply chain solutions at large. But what I think is that things have changed a lot post-COVID, because everybody everywhere sort of saw the struggles of supply chain, saw the struggles of supply chain. On the other side, more and more businesses warmed up to the idea of getting digital, adopting digital solutions. So there has been quite a transformation in the interest levels in manufacturing, in supply chain, and in B2B. So for us, we were able to raise our first round of institutional financing, I mean, in a way during COVID, but late 2020, early 2021. Before that, we had also not reached a certain product market fit to, you know, be very attractive for VCs. Having said that, I think because we never had access to a lot of capital, I'd say we've also been one such business who has learned to do more with less. So the way we built our teams, the areas on which we spend more and how we spend has been very kifayati, I would say. We've learned to operate with not having access, excess of.
I have a feeling, capital. Sonam, you have strong views on those who had access to a lot of capital, but it's okay. We don't need to touch that, maybe.
Having said that, we're right now in the middle of our next round of fundraise. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be out in the news soon. So yeah, that's something what we are looking forward to. Because as you rightly said, this is also an area which, on one side, also requires deep conviction and understanding of the problem that we are trying to solve. I mean, it's not a very cool problem statement that we solve. So it takes different type of VCs to understand what we are doing and not look at it as an investment where you know you can do a lot of things with shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to the problems that we are solving. So they have to be really, really convinced about the solution, about the industry, and have a good understanding of it.
Right. No, this was very insightful. Cool is a very subjective notion, so that keeps on changing, especially when it comes to fundraising. And I wish you all the best for larger and more significant milestones in the future, and also for your ongoing fundraise. It was great catching up with you, Sonam, and to understand what Karkhana has been doing. With that, this is Nikhil Arora, and with me, Sharad Tupran. We are signing off.